Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and I'm here to give you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers and making up for lost time, as we'll have a little extra info since some technical difficulties wiped out the last episode yesterday. And by technical difficulties, I mean operator error. Didn't find out till morning after, and it was too late to fix. So, anyways, we'll make up for lost time here today. And on this episode, we will talk about what's going on in London and in Fort Wayne. Hey, first we'll check in on the Pacers in London as they take care of a few team-related events on their second day, and more importantly, put in some work on the court before eventually wrapping up with a dinner at Kensington Palace. What a day. So then we'll look at what's happening with player development, and thought this would be a good time with a little break in the action to kind of check in on what young players are excelling with the Mad Ants, which includes George Niang and Rakeem Christmas, who are actually both with the team this week in London, but they've had a few games up in Fort Wayne, and those forwards that are developing in the organization are going to be key going forward at some point. So we'll check in on how they're doing. But before we dive in, a reminder, please hit me up with any comments or questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. So Tuesday, the Pacers were up and at 'em in London. They had to make their way down by the River Thames for some official team photos, which ended up having the iconic Big Ben clock tower in the background on the other side of the river. So from there, the team went to a local gym for a practice session, and the media was able to catch the end of practice. Now, on IndyCornrows.com, I posted kind of a social media wrap-up of the day with some of the highlights we see from either, the NBA feeds or player feeds or the Pacers feed or Eddie White with Lil Slick. All entertaining. David Benner always throwing up some good stuff. So trying to grab interesting things that kind of show the timeline of the day and what's going on over there. So check that out, and, probably the highlight of the day as far as basketball went was a tweet from Fox Sports Indiana's Jeremiah Johnson, who had a video of the final possession of the team's scrimmage at practice, and it was a next score win situation, and the White or reserve team had the ball. Monte Ellis went into the lane and missed a little runner, and the blue team gobbled up the rebound. Paul George grabbed it and advanced it forward to a open Jeff Teague. And instead of taking it himself, he slowed up, threw a little lob for Glenn Robinson III, who came in and finished with a fantastic flush. And, Miles Turner was skipping and hooting down the court with the winner. And then, for good measure, Billy Bano, the assistant coach, threw the ball back towards the rim, and all of a sudden, PG comes flying into the picture with a little windmill dunk that would have made Dominique Wilkins give it a nod of approval. So it was looked like a lot of energy out there, a lot of fun, and you know, that's kind of what you like to see with the team. I'm sure they did have some pitting up energy after traveling and then roaming around the city and finally getting back to what they do on the court, which is basketball. So afterwards, you know, the theme was that, you know, this is a business trip. They're sticking to business. Nate McMillan mentioned how the team, you know, was in a nice rhythm and they didn't really want to break that up and are trying to do what they can over here. But, you know, seeing that energy at the practice, I'm almost thinking, you know, maybe this will be a bonus because it does shake things up. You win five in a row. There's no taking a breath or getting complacent. You've got a high-energy game coming up with an international city with a big crowd, a lot of spotlight, and showing out for that group will be a nice way to make sure all the players, you know, bring their full attention to the game and focus on getting that win against the Nuggets. So also, you know, Paul George talked about, you know, being on the business trip. He did was asked about his new shoes, which he was wearing, and tried to give some, you know, technical highlights of the shoe that help him cut and jump and stop on a dime and, you know, everything he needs to do to excel. But again, he was focus more on the team, getting geared up to win the game. Miles Turner and Glenn Robinson III talked about, you know, how much they're enjoying visiting the city and all the historic sites. I think, you know, Glenn Robinson III put it perfectly for what the team is trying to do. As far as, you know, you really want to take advantage and appreciate all the things they're getting to do, but also remember that they're on a business trip and they don't want to forget that, and that's the main reason they're here, to bring home a W after beating the Nuggets. So, fun stuff, though. Watching the team, you can tell they're, you know, that group's doing things, and they're having a lot of fun. After the practice later in the evening, they got all dressed up and went to Kensington Palace for a, looks like a very formal dinner, and had some great pictures from there with everybody. Looking all sharp and ready to go into James Bond mode. So, very cool trip. You can definitely see the advantages that it can provide as far as a team growing together and getting stronger as well. So, but looking forward to the game now. Still have another day to wait till they tip off Thursday afternoon Indy time. So we'll look forward to watching that game. And another scheduling note for the podcast, I am not going to be available to do show tomorrow. So, again, kind of doubling up here tonight. And then we'll get something together for post-game reaction on Thursday that we'll publish on Friday. So just a little scheduling quirk here this week. I guess I'm also taking advantage of this odd break in the schedule, but not going to be available tomorrow. So, I do want to thank the Locked On Podcast Network again for the support, and again for all the support listeners have been giving. I really appreciate it. Things continue to grow. It's been a fun season all of a sudden, as we're seeing the Pacers kind of work through issues and come together and realize there's still, you know, a move or two possibly, maybe some development, as we'll talk about in a bit, that could also change things and really keep things interesting for the Pacers this year. But now it's nice to have them back kind of in that mix in the playoff, and hopefully they can continue taking advantage of their schedule this month and set themselves up for a solid finish to the season. Speaking of that, I took part in offering up a midseason report for the Locked On NBA podcast, which David Locke runs, and he's going through all the teams from the Eastern Conference this week, so I want to make sure you're checking out that podcast, Locked On NBA, for the Eastern Conference midseason reports. The Western Conference teams will follow, and it's just a good little breakdown, checking in on each team, you know, who's been surprised, who's been a disappointment, are they going to be buyers and sellers at the trade deadline, and kind of what to look forward to for the rest of the season. So please check that out. All right, now let's turn our attention to player development. Since, again, I was unable to share this yesterday, let's just bring it up and do it again. You know, speaking of development, this podcast is development. So, but the Pacers, you know, they could really use some front court depth. And having a young forward emerge that can, you know, defend and rebound at a minimum, even better, add some offense and ideally be able to spread the floor and be a stretch four that can hit threes. That would be a great skill set to add to this team. And if you can get a guy to emerge as a young player who's not going to be a high-salaried player already in the league, that's a triple bonus almost. So I think, you know, the Pacers kind of, I'm looking at four guys that kind of stick out as potential candidates that meet that description. And I think, you know, we probably should start with two guys that are on the roster, on the big roster, in George Nyang and Rakeem Christmas. Both have spent most of the time with the Pacers, have played very little, though, but they have both played a few games up in Fort Wayne. And so if we look at what they did in those games where they got some, you know, quality minutes, we can see Nyang has played four games. He's averaging just under 18 points, almost six rebounds per game, and also a little over three assists. And even better, he's shooting around 35% from three-point land. So doing pretty well. His best game was actually his last game before returning to the Pacers on Saturday last week. Nyang scored 23 points, had 12 rebounds, and made 5 of 10 threes in that game. He also had 4 assists, which had Indy Cornrows writer Caitlin Cooper suggesting on Twitter that, you know, he should think about playing, you know, a game like Boris Diaw. That might be his model. And really, if you look at Diaw, they are kind of a similar size. I mean, Diaw's a lot bigger around the middle, but both around 6'8", and, you know, it's that great ball sense and ability to pass and move and be in the right spot that Diaw has excelled with, especially when he's played a role with the San Antonio Spurs. So that would be a great model for Nyang to follow, and if he could develop into that with the Pacers, fantastic. Another guy, Rakeem Christmas. Now he's getting up there. He's 25 now. This is going to be, you know, second year splitting time with the Pacers and the Mad Ants. He's averaging 13 points and almost 7 rebounds a game and a little over 1.5 blocks. And he's played 5 games so far up there. So his best game came against the Long Island Nets with 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 blocks. But he's had a combined 4 blocks in his other 4 games. So I'm looking at those two players as far as, you know, your advanced net rating of, you know, defense and offense, points per possession while you're on the floor. Nyang checks in at a 7.7 points per 100 possessions in the positive. So when he's on the floor, the Mad Ants are 7.7 points better. As for Christmas, he is at a negative 1.5 points per possession. Now, Nyang with 4 games, Christmas with 5 games. Obviously, small sample size, but that's what we have to go by here. As for two other guys who are very intriguing prospects and may end up being more involved next year as the rosters expand to 17 and there's more options for players to play both up and down, we got to start with Alex Poitras, who has been the shining star for the Mad Ants and their strong season so far. Poitras is averaging through 20 games, over 18 points, about 7 rebounds per game, 1.4 assists, and his net rating when he's on the floor is a plus 12.3 points per 100 possessions. So real strong showing from Poitras. If there's a negative as far as, you know, the full NBA skill set you're looking for from a guy, it is his three-point shooting. He's only making 31% of his threes, and he really isn't shooting that many. Usually, maybe one or two attempts per game. He had one the other night. It was one of five. But that is definitely a key to his success, and getting a look at the NBA level will be to develop that three-point shot, or at least that would be the quickest way for him to find his way on the NBA roster, hopefully with the Pacers, if all things go well, right? His best game, there's been several good games. He's had several high-scoring games. I guess December 16th, he scored 32 points with 11 rebounds and a couple of blocks. So he's been definitely a bright spot. I kind of thought of him as a Solomon Hill light, maybe, just because he wasn't quite as athletic as Solomon Hill, although he's a smart player and understands the game. And I think maybe, you know, that might be a good comp all the way around. I think they're kind of comparable players. He might be a little bigger than Solo, though. So definitely an intriguing prospect, and one I think were the Pacers able to bring up and down players at this point without having to break open the roster spot. But, you know, he might get a sniff this year. But we'll see how the season plays out. There's always injuries. There's always who knows what around the corner during the marathon season. So I can never rule it out. But it's nice to have him down there in Fort Wayne doing well. And I know the team liked him in camp. So good to see that he's shown up well. Now, for me, the other maybe more intriguing player and also kind of a big question mark is Ben Bentil, the guy who was selected one player after Niang and who probably would have been picked by the Pacers had Niang not dropped them out of Providence. I know he had good workouts in the draft, before the draft, and was highly thought of. Ended up getting released by the Celtics, and the Pacers quickly signed him for a day and then released him and assigned him to the Mad Ants. Now, he wasn't there long, and it sounds like the team was a little surprised. I mean, the initial reports of him leaving the team, which he left and was able to sign a short-term contract to play in China, where he can actually get paid some good money as opposed to the D-League, which is another thing that the collective bargaining agreement is going to help with going forward, at least. Anyways, he was able to sign essentially a month contract to play in China. And, you know, initially it sounded like Mad Ants were like, yeah, this is business as usual. Go over there, come back, and pick up where he left off. But a couple people I talked to, and I definitely need to have been trying to round up some more information on him currently, but it sounded like they weren't that excited with him signing up and then bailing pretty quickly. But he did play one game and really showed up well in that one game with the Mad Ants. He had 27 points, 9 rebounds, and he made 2 of 5 threes, had a couple blocks. So showed all of those things that I mentioned at the start, you know, having some offense, being a guy who's willing to bang on the glass and also step out and hit a three. So he went over to China and played for the Xinjiang Flying Tigers and was able to play 11 games. They have rules over there about the amount of American-born players, I think 2 or 3 max, and he was essentially filling in for Andre Blotch over there. So he played 11 games and averaged about 20 minutes per game in those games. And he scored 13.7 points per game, almost 5 rebounds per game, and most impressively, made 23 of 48 three-pointers from the international distance. Certain spots a little shorter than the NBA distance, but regardless, making 48% of those threes is real impressive. And if you push those numbers out to a per 36, since he only played 20 minutes, you know, that's an average of 24 points and 8.5 rebounds per game. So combine that with the three-point percentage, and he is a guy that I am really intrigued to see what develops in his game and how he goes about his business here. He obviously is at a critical point in his career. He's got to maybe suck up some pride at some point and do whatever it takes to put in the work and work his way up to the NBA. But if he keeps putting up those types of numbers, teams are going to be calling. And I really hope he gets a chance to be a factor for the Pacers. And another thing, obviously, when you're talking about development guys, young guys, is, you know, where are they as far as age and also, you know, their size. We're talking about fours here, stretch fours. All these guys are pretty comparable as far as that goes, 6'7", 6'8", depending upon what size shoe they're wearing. Probably Niang is among Poitras, Niang, and Bentel. They're all really comparable size-wise. Niang's probably a little bigger than the other two, but wingspan is comparable. I think Bentil's a little bigger. Christmas has these guys by an inch or two, and definitely in the wingspan with about a 7.5-foot wingspan. So he's, you know, when you think of Christmas, he's not going to be that guy who's a defending, rebounding, and hitting threes. He's going to be more of a 4/5 type guy. So I'm keeping him in this conversation, though, because he is active. He is a guy that, you know, may be able to help on the rebounding side of things at some point, and never know how this season again is going to go. You've got Kevin Serafin and Al Jefferson playing the big minutes right now, expecting them to remain healthy, even though their reserve minute demand isn't that heavy on them. You never know what's going to happen, especially with Jefferson. So there could be a time when Christmas is pressed into action. But overall, we're talking about these four guys as forwards. Now, as far as age goes, Christmas, again, is already 25. Then Niang is 23 and about a half. And Alex Poitras is a few months younger than Niang at 23 as well. So just a little bit older than Glenn Robinson III, a couple months older. And then Ben Bentil is only 21. So, again, those are prospects the Pacers have in the farm, so to speak. Even though a couple of those guys are on the big club roster most of the season, they're guys under development, along with Joe Young, who remains really the only young player in the backcourt that the Pacers are still hoping to bring along. But for now, as the season goes on, keep your eye on the Mad Ants and wherever Ben Bentil may show up. He's yet to play again with the Mad Ants. I'm assuming he will at some point, but we'll have to keep an eye out for him. And, of course, it's easier to keep track of Niang and Christmas because you know when they're in town and when they're heading up, since the Pacers always announce that. But worth keeping an eye on those guys. And, you know, those Mad Ant games are always on Facebook. Their website has links to all the previous games, all their highlights. There's a lot of stuff up there. If you are interested in seeing, you know, what Poitras looks like in a game and how he plays, you can get a good feel for that. And also, you know, seeing Niang play, that last game is a good one to go watch him play, see what he looked like on the court in some extended minutes. So we'll be checking in again from Fort Wayne later in the year. But for now, we're going to keep our eye on what is going on in London with the Pacers as they continue to prep to play the Nuggets, which will be, again, 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. And we'll have a show back for you on Friday morning with all the details from what was going on in London and hopefully a 6th consecutive win for the Pacers. So make sure you check out the game. And also, we'd love to hear your thoughts on these young players that we spoke about, hoping to develop, and who you think the Pacers should be looking at for their future forward needs. Please make sure you hit me up with your comments or thoughts via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And, of course, you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all the prior episodes are archived and available. So thanks for listening. That's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.